And hello, football fans. It's your old pal Dave, Dave Damashek. What's going down? I hope all's well wherever you are. We're here in Indianapolis, the site of Super Bowl 46. Just finished up Thursday's edition of NFL.com Live. Still have one more show to go on Friday. Be on the lookout for that one. We're going to be yapping with the likes of RG3 and Tim Tebow. Not just the likes of, but actually them. That's an important distinction. I don't want to fool you into thinking it's going to be a cheap imitation, but in fact, the genuine article on both counts. Also, Adam Sandler and Ice Cube. Is that what it is?
It's Vanilla Ice.
No.
Together again for the first time.
Vanilla Ice?
Yes.
Is that right?
Yeah.
It's going to be Adam Sandler and Vanilla Ice.
Together again.
That'll be weird. All right, so we'll look forward to that on Friday, but in the meantime, here's today's lineup for you of some of the highlights from what was, I felt, a gangbuster show, Rank.
It was a great show.
Oh, I didn't say hello to you, first of all.
That's all right.
I'm Rank over here.
Can I say one thing, though?
Yes, you can.
Hit my music.
Adam the Rank is here. Both that drunk on beer. He likes fries, fries, fries. Fries, fries, fries. With great.
I feel that the fans need it.
You know, listen, it doesn't have to be every show, but I feel that every other show is appropriate.
Here's what I did today. I saw Madonna 18 feet away.
Yep.
And she looked better than I thought she would.
She looked good in person.
She did. She was.
You know what
foxy.
Didn't look good?
What's that?
You squealing like an 8-year-old boy.
That's simply.
Oh, Madonna, I'm over here. Madonna, please look at me.
I didn't screech in the
least.
I stand by the fact I'm not a fan of her music, but she's an icon. She transcends. If Michael Jackson or Frank Sinatra walked by,
it'd be amazing because they're both dead.
That's what would make it extra weird. Yeah. But anyway, welcome to episode 51 here of the Dave Damashek football program, available as always on iTunes. Subscribe, won't you? And as we do before we get into this lineup of guests, Larry Fitzgerald, Cam Newton, we're going to listen back to the Mick Ranklin group.
Really?
Yeah. Rank's cheap knockoff of John McLaughlin, a timely bit.
Yes, he's still around.
Drew Brees. I'm sure the people listening to our podcast, big fans of PBS political talk.
I bet they probably know it more for the Dana Carvey takeoff than...
No, our listenership likely doesn't know who Dana Carvey is either.
They never saw the Master of Disguise?
No, but we will... a SNL guy who people will know, Will Forte, he joined us. Kurt Schilling, Ryan Grigson, and Miss America herself. All right, so episode 51, let's do what we do on each episode and honor the player in NFL and sports history who wore it best. 51, immediately the brain goes to Dick Butkus.
Of course.
The most sort of paradoxically good name. Dick Butkus sounds tough, but then when you start breaking it down, it becomes less so.
Yes.
Dick Butkus. Strange, but still a rugged fella if there ever was one.
Is it better than Harmon Killebrew?
Ah, that's pretty good.
That's a name.
Yeah, Harmon Killebrew. The Killer. If your nickname can be The Killer, that's pretty good. Who else? You had Randy Johnson. He had the mullet of all mullets. He was 6'9" on the hump, and or 6'10" on the hump, and he had about 6'8" worth of
long
mullet.
Time, you know, Astros pitcher. That would probably
elsewhere.
Be an awesome jersey to have, is the Randy Johnson Astros jersey.
Well, and then rarely do you see this, but a legendary player for the Mariners, Randy Johnson, then he gives that number up to Ichiro, 51. Any other 51s of note? None are jumping to the top of my brain.
Well, we do have a listener named Dan of Thunder who would be upset if we didn't mention Willie McGee.
Oh, yeah, E.T. Willie McGee from this great Cardinals teams of the 80s.
Sam Mills.
Yeah.
Great linebacker.
Who our pal Steve Smith calls the greatest Carolina Panther of all time.
And Randy Cross, Jim Ringo, maybe a couple others.
I say it's down to Butkus or Randy Johnson. How say you?
I'm going to say Butkus. I don't think that.
Butkus.
I don't think it's that close.
Producer Mitchell, how say you?
Butkus.
Butkus. Paul.
Butkus.
All right. We're in agreement then.
All right, yeah.
Butkus it is. Congratulations to you, sir. You get to wear the jersey for the Dave Damashek football program. Episode 51. And with that being said, let's get to it, Rank. We'll start it off with Larry Fitzgerald, followed up with all those guests we mentioned for you. Enjoy.
Right out of the gate, Larry Fitzgerald. We've got a great show lined up for you. Welcome, Larry. I got to ask you this as somebody who is from that area. It strikes me, let's talk Pitt football for one moment. It seems to me that that program has wasted more top-tier NFL talent over the last decade than any other school I can think of. You, there's Revis, there's Shady McCoy, Antonio Bryant. I mean, there's, you know, the list goes on and on. What gives there? Why so many 8-4 type seasons when there's this much talent to be had there?
You know, I really can't speak on it right now, but when I was there, you know, that's when they still had Boston College and Miami and Virginia taking our division, and it was tough to get past those teams. I mean, we were always right there behind those guys. Now, you know, playing in the Big East with those teams going, I never understood why we couldn't get past to get over the hump and get into a BCS game again. It was frustrating. It really is.
You know, last year the Cardinals finished winning 7 of their last 9. And a lot of the hubbub going into the season was Kevin Cobb and his chemistry with you. But Ray Horton had that defense playing by the end of the year. How do you see the Cardinals doing in 2012?
Well, I'm really excited about our team. I mean, we have two quarterbacks on the roster that we know we can win ball games with, John Skelton and Kevin Cobb. You know, Kevin had a tough year dealing with a couple injuries, not having an offseason, missing parts of training camp, with the new collective bargaining agreement. So we kind of just got it off started slow. But I think with this new year, him having some time to get in the program, acclimated with the offense, comfortable with his personnel, I think things are going to be much better.
Any question going into 2012 that that Cobb is the man, or is Skelton played himself into that picture so that in August it could be a little bit of a two-man race?
You know, John has played really, really well, but I mean, we all know that, you know, when a guy, you know, is paid the amount of money that you're paid, you're going to have to have the you're going to get the opportunity to win it out. And I think Kevin deserves that. You know, I don't think you should lose your job based on injury, even though John plays so well for us down the stretch. I think it's a good problem to have. You know, there's a lot of teams don't even have one quality quarterback on their team, but we have two, and I think that's good.
But can it be a distraction, though, when you have two guys like that? Because once Kevin Cobb struggles or anything like that, all the fans, all the media is going to be asking for Skelton to come in. Isn't it a little distracting?
It's a struggle for those two. I think as a player on the team, you have to go out there and you got to support whoever's under center. And no matter if you're playing quarterback or you're playing quarterback, whoever's back there throwing it, I'm going to go out there and play hard for you. I'm going to go out there and try to make tough catches for you. And that's kind of how everybody thinks once that guy's under center.
Larry, you're here with Visa. Talk about what you got going on.
Visa has an awesome sweepstakes this year, and they're allowing you and 10 of your favorite friends to be able to go to Super Bowl next year. They did it this year, and it's been a smash hit.
I've seen the ads.
Yes,
yeah.
All you got to do is
have 10 friends.
All you got to do is swipe your Visa card, and you're automatically in there, and it's awesome. I mean, I know I had some trouble picking 10 people. Facebook actually has an application that will help you select your 10 friends that you want to bring, because you know, I know if you pick the wrong 10, you know, that can give you some trouble amongst the family and friends.
Absolutely. And you see the commercial. I don't like it that the guy's a Ravens fan. He's calling his grandmother, who's a Browns fan. How has that happened? How is that family still together?
That's sacrilegious almost. Yes.
It is weird. It is weird. Yeah, would you put on a 49ers hat in exchange for a ticket? Probably not.
No, that would be tough for me to do. That would be tough.
What do you think
to...
about we got this this game is probably going to come down to the big difference with the Giants this year versus 4 years ago is the quality of wide receivers. With the Patriots, it's no longer Randy Moss. It's about those two tight ends plus Wes Welker. Which receiving options do you think are better between those two?
I think with Gronk being hurt, I think he's going to play, but he's not going to be the Gronk that we've all seen this whole season. I think the Giants have a distinct advantage just because of the secondary problems that the New England Patriots have had all season. Losing Andre Carter early in the year took away another pass rusher that they're probably going to need this week, because Eli really has not had that much pressure on him. I mean, the offensive line for the Giants done a great job, and I think those players, when he gets the ball in their hand, they do a great job after the catch, and I think it's going to be tough to deal with.
So Giants wins.
Giants are going to win.
Giants going to win. There he is. Larry Fitzgerald says so. I dare say, hyperbole maybe, the best hands in the history of the NFL. I don't know that there's ever been better.
Chris Carter wasn't too shabby. You know, I learned from the best.
All right. Thank you very much, Larry Fitzgerald, and thanks to Visa. And have a good time out here.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you having me.
Dave Damashek.
Look who is sitting here now. None other than the Rookie of the Year, Cam Newton. Hey, congratulations to you, obviously, on the huge year. A lot of questions coming into the year. A lot of people didn't know how it was going to go. But, I, you know, obviously gangbusters. But I don't want to start off on the wrong foot. But the only issue I have is the Superman move. Only because Dwight Howard does it already, as I'm sure you know. See,
right, but it's, I'm not taking that persona of Superman because I know, you know, that's been somebody's MO for a long time. That's just something that stuck. You know, a lot of people, it got a lot of attention when I first did it. Like, man, why, what is that? What are you doing? And I think, you know, Dwight Howard is Superman in himself. I'm just Superman coming out of the booth.
I
know,
see.
Just, you know what I'm saying? It's different.
You're Clark Kent. It's a completely different
person.
Right.
So.
Maybe we could, but.
He's mild-mannered. But there's a lot of guys in the DC universe we could go with, you know, like Green Lantern.
Well, what's that move? What would that move look like? You just, that would do maybe like, how about Aquaman? You know, you
Aquaman.
just go.
Like he had that was the sound effect.
Yeah, he would send off the boop, 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 boop to the fish, right. Yeah.
I want to ask you, you know, when a guy comes in the league, they always say they have a hard time adjusting to the speed of the game. But that didn't seem like it was a problem to you. I mean, the game seemed to slow down for you for being a rookie. Were you just that well prepared for it, or did it startle you, the speed of the game?
I really didn't think that my biggest issue was the speed of the game, being that I played in the SEC, and I think that is the most NFL-ready conference of any conferences. I think the thing that caught me was the preparation for the game. Going into each and every week as if it was a final exam and having to throw all that material away the next week and study for another team. That was something that was that I found still hard to this day.
How can we have a title game with two SEC teams? What do you think of the BCS system? I mean, it seemed listen, I understand the SEC year in, year out always has great teams, but don't you want to see them, you know, face off against somebody from the Big 12 or the Pac-10? Or?
I just think that the BCS has that method has so many loopholes in it. And I want to know, you know, I want to know who to point the finger at with. Well, why is that? You know, everybody says it's the computers. Well, you know, it's a lot of things that doesn't go the right way for, you know, you see 0.5 or this point. I don't understand how they get the point. So that's not my job to worry about. I play football. And, you know, if somebody's in college right now, if you win the football games that you need to win, you just go undefeated and you're playing the national championship. How about that?
Fair enough.
Cam, we're in Indy. And, you know, obviously a big topic is Peyton Manning. And with the draft coming up.
Right.
Andrew Luck going number one. What do you think about Andrew Luck being the top overall pick, and what kind of pressure does he face with that hanging on his shoulders?
You know, I had the opportunity to meet Andrew when I was in college. You know, I met him down at the Heisman ceremony. Unbelievable guy. And his character is very contagious. And, you know, him having that MO of throughout this whole season, everybody knows who Andrew Luck is and playing and still playing at a high level. I think he's going to come into this league and make a big impact. You know, like I say, I'm going back to me being a football player. I'm not a GM or an owner, so I don't have that pressure of making that type of decision. But, you know, a lot of things that you have to still credit with Peyton Manning, he is still Peyton Manning. You know, it's a lot of people that's doubting him with his health. But at the end of the day, if he comes back in the league and set it on fire with the way he left, you know, whose finger are you going to point to then?
And RG3 kind of came out of nowhere for people who don't follow college football a lot. Do you have a chance to know him? What do you think he's going to do at the next level?
Never met RG, but you know, I'm.
Are you a fan?
A big fan of RG, man. This guy plays with an unbelievable talent, and you know him being a Heisman Trophy winner, so he's a part of the brotherhood. You know, watch him this year. Just the skill set that he has, you know, reminds me of myself, being able to run and throw at the same time. You know, he's going to have some challenges in this league also. But, you know, one thing that if I could say something to Andrew or RG, it would be, you know, just stay sane. There's going to be things that's going to be said about you that you have no control over at the end of the day. But, you know, your word could only be your gameplay on the field.
Cam, last thing for you. We talk quite a bit to Steve Smith on the podcast we do for NFL.com. Steve made a comment a couple weeks back. I asked him who the best quarterback he ever played with, assuming it was you. He said Jake Delhomme 1, Vinny Testaverde 2, and then Cam Newton. How say you?
I don't know, man. That's Smitty. But I've also heard, you know, a lot of people say You know, Cam has revived Steve Smith in his whole career. But I want to flip that and say, you know, Steve Smith has made my start of my career, you know, an unbelievable experience. You know, Smitty is a person that helped me so much on the field and off the field with him being in this league for 11, 12 years going forward and him still playing at a high level.
Cam Newton, thank you very much, and thanks on behalf of Carolina Panther fans and fantasy owners the world over.
That's right.
They loved watching you.
You listen to Dave Damashek.
From Indianapolis, the McRanklin Group, the sharpest minds, the toughest questions, the hardest football talk. Issue number one, most clutch performance in Super Bowl history. What say you, Dimples Damashek?
Well, there were a lot. There was Vinatieri. There was Roethlisberger. How about Mark Haynes and Lester Hayes?
There's a lot, but pick one.
Eli Manning and the last time these two teams played?
Wrong. Sinbad Smith.
There's only one.
All right, Charlie Ronco, let's go.
And it's the guy who guaranteed a win despite being 17-point underdogs, Joe Namath.
Interesting. What do you got, Tweeter?
Give me the special teams linebacker, Jack Squirek, Super Bowl 18, big touchdown, pick right before the half, made it 21-3.
Huge underrated performance, but was it clutch? No. The toughest, the most clutch performer was Joe Montana. You guys, four Super Bowls, does it ring a bell to anybody here? Apparently not. Issue number two, whose legacy benefits the most from a Super Bowl win? Tom Coughlin, Bill Belichick, Diamond Dave Damashek, what say you?
I'll go with Belichick, I guess, because, one, he could be the greatest coach of all time with four rings, and plus he gets to shake off the Spygate thing. This would be his first Spygate-less Super Bowl crown, so him.
Interesting. Harry Goldenblatt, what do you got?
I'm the only one picking the Patriots to win anything. It's
my legacy. Did you not just hear what he said?
It's my legacy. He said if they win, I'm the one picking them. It's my legacy. I got a huge legacy.
Your legacy is sealed. What do you got, McConaughey?
Tom Coughlin.
Tom Coughlin? Why do you say Tom Coughlin?
He's never considered in the upper pantheon of coaches. This would give him two rings. And don't forget, appreciate that, don't forget his being an
He's
assistant.
He's taking some for himself.
For the 1990 Giants. So he has a ring there, too.
I like the cut of your jib, Wooderson. And now for issue number three, we have a special guest, the John McLaughlin.
If the Patriots win a fourth Super Bowl, is Tom Brady then the greatest quarterback in NFL history?
I'll take this one. He's certainly in the conversation. He goes ahead of Terry Bradshaw, not ahead of Montana. What do you say?
I'm with you, fella. That guy does a great McRanklin impression,
not
by
bad,
the way.
Not bad, right?
Yeah, not too bad. I'm going to stick with Montana, though.
No, Brady's the best. He would have won exactly as the same as Montana. He will have been to more, and he did it in free agency.
Free agency. What do you got?
I'm going to go Joe Montana. Played in a different era. It's a lot harder for quarterbacks back then. Give me Joe Montana.
One. I think most of us, the sane ones, in agreement. John, you got another question for us.
He did
us,
it without
right?
the videotapes, too.
If Eli Manning wins a second Super Bowl, is Eli then the superior Manning?
That is absolutely true, because we judge quarterbacks by who wins in the clutch. That would be Eli Manning. He becomes the best Manning. Dave, what say you?
I like the cut of your jib. We park our cars in the same garage there, McRanklin. Yes, of course. If Eli wins it, he's better than Peyton.
Not only is he number one, but Cupper Manning moves up to number two and Peyton moves all the way down to number three.
Well, you guys may park your 99 Lime Green Del Sols in the same area. I can't agree with that. I can't agree with it.
It's Eli Manning still Peyton Manning. Why is it Peyton Manning?
What is a big game in the NFL?
The Super
Bowl. The games.
A Week 14 divisional game is a big game. A wild card game is a big game. An AFC championship is a big game. Peyton Manning has won plenty of big games in his career. He's done it more than his little brother. Give Eli a few more years.
He's won nine postseason games.
David Damashek.
Well, look who joins us. Drew Brees, record breaker. Drew Brees, please have a cookie.
Those look good,
and
it is
one.
The start of the off season.
That's
all right. I'll wait till we get off camera, and I'll probably eat all three of them.
Do you let your belly go?
Yeah, when you're in the off season, I remember one time I was talking to Tim DeWight. He says he used to take 2 weeks and just get as fat as he could get and just let it go. Do you ever do that before you start ramping it up?
I don't know if I go to that extreme, but I definitely. Here's the thing: you're so disciplined and so just locked in during the season with your diet and all your habits that. I think you need that time to splurge a little bit when the season does end. And just enjoy some of the things that you kept yourself from doing, you know. So, yeah, I'll definitely engage in the brownies and the cookies and the chicken fried steak and everything else that I can eat.
We could order you something, too. They have a lot of good food.
Yeah, we can get a runner over here. I imagine you like a three-week period where you only wear sweatpants, never go outside, like that kind of thing.
What's your
Well, that was more depression after we lost. But
what's your splurge of choice? Is it like oatmeal cream pie? You seem like an oatmeal cream pie guy.
New Orleans, man.
See, well, yeah, you can get yourself in trouble in New Orleans. Obviously, it's great food, but I can't say it's always good for you. But, no, I'm an oatmeal raisin cookie guy. That looks like, is that a chocolate chip?
It's oatmeal raisin.
What's your favorite?
You guys must not have gotten the memo about the oatmeal raisin cookies.
Drew Brees, hard-hitting question. It's that time of the year, Girl Scout cookie time. Best Girl Scout cookie.
Yeah, what are the thin mints?
The mints? That is the correct answer.
Yeah,
can I give you a little piece of advice?
Sure.
Drew Brees?
Yes.
Take some of the thin mints, crush them up, drop them in some vanilla ice cream. You just stamped your ticket for Cloud 9.
Really?
Yeah, you're welcome.
That sounds like a blizzard. Remember the old Dairy Queen?
All right.
Right. Yeah, Dairy Queen. Kind of
they stole that from me. Like. They stole that from me.
All right,
I think Grantley took it from you, too.
Talk about this, though, Drew. You mentioned that game against the Niners up there, an all-time classic, really, but, of course, you're on the wrong end of it.
Right.
What's happening the half hour after that game, the next few days? How do you feel right now about being in that game? Great season, but obviously doesn't end where you want it to.
Yeah, certainly disappointing because we all felt like we were playing our best football at the right time. Felt like all the pieces were in place to really make a run at it. And we expected to be playing in this game. There's no doubt about it. Listen, San Francisco had a phenomenal season. And they're a great team. And that was just one of those games where, you know, we turned it over five times. And against a good team, you should have zero chance of winning after doing something like that. And yet, we were able to take the lead twice in the fourth quarter, had a chance at the end, and unfortunately just didn't come up with the plays when we needed them, and they did. And so all the credit should go to them. For about a week after that, I mean, I was really depressed. Because it seems like, especially once you've been to a Super Bowl and won one, there's no feeling like it, you know, in sports. And so you get that taste in your mouth, and that's all you want. And anything short of that is a disappointment. And so I'd say for that week after, disappointment obviously for ending the season the way that it did, the finality of it all, but also just the fact that when you look around your locker room 2 days later and you're going through the exit physicals and exit meetings, you look around the room and you know that there's going to be some guys that aren't going to be a part of that team anymore. And that's the sad part. You know, and I've probably never been as sad as I was 2 days after that game just because, man, we got such a special locker room. And we will continue to. But you just know that your team's going to change. Even just, you know, in a few positions, it changes. There's turnover every year on every team. And so that's the saddest part about it because you get close to these guys and then all of a sudden you just know that group, that specific group will never be all together again.
You know, you won Super Bowl 44 against the Colts, and so you will always have that on your mantle that you're a Super Bowl winner. And we had a discussion yesterday about the greatest quarterbacks to never win a Super Bowl. And inevitably, Dan Marino's name comes up. You, all of you, the fraternity of quarterbacks, hold him in such esteem. What did you think about breaking his record and about where he sits among quarterbacks despite not having the ring?
Well, there's no doubt he is one of the greatest of all time. Here's the thing. I think there's a lot of quarterbacks that have given some pretty significant contributions to this game, and he is at the top of the list. There's no doubt. And here's the thing. He held just about every record, single season, career, you name it. And you know, little by little, you know, Peyton Manning breaks his touchdown record. Brett Favre breaks some of his career marks. Then Brady comes back and breaks the touchdown. Right. We just break the yardage record.
You're taking all the records
away. Well, here's the thing. Records are made to be broken, you know. And I hope we can hold on to this record for a while. But inevitably, this thing's going to get broken at some point by some young guy coming in the league, you know. Hopefully years from now. At least, you know, we hope so. But it doesn't diminish just how significant it was. Each record in each era deserves to be held in that moment and have a special place in history for that moment. But it's an honor to have had the opportunity to chase that record and be even in remotely in that category with the Dan Marino.
Drew Brees, obviously, great career thus far, but have you ever had it so good as having a guy like Jimmy Graham? Do you in the huddle just say, just go about 15 yards out, and I'm going to throw it in your general direction.
He's a stud. He's a stud.
Is it that simple, really? I know I'm being very basic. Is it as simple in the huddle?
It's a little more complicated. but just the sometimes in a game, you know, you can draw up all the X's and O's you want, but in the end, it's just me to you. You know, it's Jimmy, here's the route concept, but you see what I see because we've been working together now for this entire year. And we know these subtle adjustments to be made. He knows I trust him. He knows the ball's coming his way. And he just continues to find ways to get open. And, you know, the thing I love about him the most is not his talent or his ability to jump out of the gym or go up and get any ball I throw to him. It's his heart. It's his mindset. He's such a mentally tough individual who knows that the sky's the limit for him, and he's going to continue to work hard. He doesn't let bad things, mistakes throughout the course of a game influence him.
Short memory.
Yeah, it's all really. It's if he makes a mistake, he comes back and says, "I will never make that mistake again. You can count on me. Come back to me. I'll make it up to you." And sure enough, the guy's going to go off and go for 150, 150, and two touchdowns later on in the game. So he's really a special player and a special individual.
Well, of course, I was down in New Orleans a week or two after you won that Super Bowl. The people of New Orleans, after what they'd been through a couple of years before, the joy, dancing in the streets, literally, leading into Mardi Gras and everything. Hard to root against you and those Saints. Thanks for the time here today.
No problem. Thanks for having me on. Dave Damashek,
Welcome back to NFL.com Live. There you see, he of the bloody sock. It's Curt Schilling. What's happening, man?
What's going on? Thanks for having me, guys. This is awesome.
A pleasure.
Gronkowski's got the ankle. What's up with Boston sports figures and these ankle injuries?
Yeah, I think that's, I mean, I'm dying to find out medically how bad that is. I mean, because I guess there's two different types of high ankle sprain, unstable and stable. And the stable one, he could be out maybe a week or two. Unstable is 6 month kind of thing. There's no swelling. No one. I'm not sure if he doesn't play, that changes everything about this game.
Absolutely
on both sides of the ball. Yeah.
Completely agree with you on that, and the fact that he was out there running around immediately after maybe gives false hope because apparently a high ankle sprain, you can go out there day of,
well,
but it gets worse.
I played with guys that have had it, and the advantage was he was still hot. You know, if he has a high ankle sprain and it requires a lot of painkillers and medication and taping, halftime's going to be a nightmare for him. He's going to be a very different player in the second half than he is in the first half if he can get back out there.
Let's talk about something. I met you just about a week ago.
Yes.
In Hollywood.
Yes.
At Jimmy Kimmel Live. You came in there and shot a little bit with my man Kimmel.
Yes.
Because you have now gone from baseball into video games. You have a game called The Reckoning, and it is not a baseball,
not sports related.
Nope. It's a fantasy action game. Talk about it.
And so that's actually it. 38 Studios is the name of the company. Reckoning is coming out Tuesday, February 7th. It's our first game. We've had the demo out about 2 weeks. Response has been overwhelming, amazing, like close to 2 million downloads.
Wow.
And it's going to be up for Game of the Year. It's a phenomenal product. It's an incredibly deep, rich, immersive, I think Lord of the Rings kind of fantasy type game.
You're talking my language.
Yeah. I mean, we've got Todd McFarlane and R.A. Salvatore and Ken Ralston involved, and it's kind of opening day on a second career for me. And I've got a team now of about 400 cut between two studios, and we're making software and entertainment, and it's a blast.
Speaking of opening day, I'm from the South. I'm a big Texas Rangers fan, and I've had my heart broken 2 years in a row. First, we lost to a Giants team that was not they got great timely pitching, but the team overall wasn't that great. And then we blew it to the Cardinals. How do you see the Texas Rangers being this year?
They're beginning. One of the things I think that the AL West has lacked is a dominating. I mean, the Angels have been
the most constant
thing. Well, but I'm saying nobody's coming out of the AL West and winning World Series, multiple World Series over multiple
years.
Thanks
to you guys.
Well, you know, and I'm not going to apologize for that.
Right.
But I think you should. But it's that's going to be a tough ballpark to be consistently good at. It's a challenge to pitch there. More importantly for me, though, it's hot. And that is a big deal. It's the same thing down in Florida. When 81 of your games are in that environment, it's different. The dog days of August and September wear on those teams differently than they do. Having said that, the Darvish signing, that they're going to have a very, very good team. And, you know, I look at Anaheim and what they did with Albert and CJ. That's going to be both West divisions are going to be incredibly competitive.
But it also brings up, too, because it seems every year we start off and just assume it's going to be the Red Sox or the Yankees in the playoffs. Tampa Bay has been sneaking in, too. But now it looks like there's two teams in the AL West that can do it. So now it's
like you're you've got the Tigers in the Central. You've got the, you know, the Royals aren't going to probably contend this year, but they're getting
close.
In the East, you can't say Yankees, Red Sox anymore. The Rays are legit. They have an incredibly talented core group of young players that they've signed for extended periods of time now. They're going to be good. They're going to contend for that title every bit as much. I still can't get past the Pineda trade. I think the Yankees, I'm overwhelmed that that guy was traded. That arm got traded to the Yankees. I think they answered a lot of their issues, but it's as much a toss-up in the AL as it's ever been in recent memory for me.
Reminder, you can tweet us. You can tweet Curt Schilling and the rest of our guests here at NFL.com Live. We have a question for Curt. Let's take a look at that one. My dad's predicting Gronk to have a Curt Schilling bloody sock incident at the Super Bowl to inspire the team. Curt, do you feel it?
I don't know. I would say that what he's going to go through is going to be far harder than what I went through. If he has a true high ankle sprain, I would be stunned if he was out there for four quarters being himself. Having said that, I think if anybody can do it, it's this kid. He's got enough screws loose to be an impact player with that kind of thing. I mean, I don't put anything past these guys.
Are those all your teams, or are you a Bruins guy?
No. Sounds... I grew up a Steeler fan. I'm a diehard Steeler fan.
I like
so this is kind of a painful place for me.
I just had Demaryius Thomas sitting here before you. I berated him for 5 minutes.
I'm a diehard Steeler fan. I was a Pirate fan growing up. My dad was born and raised in Pennsylvania, so I'm a huge Bruins fan now. I came kind of late to hockey, but it's an incredible time in New England right now.
Sure.
My four kids have grown up in and around Boston and seen all four teams win a title in their lifetimes.
Yeah, you were there. Now, when you guys started your championship run, the Patriots were also winning. What was the atmosphere? Were the fans as crazy for the Patriots as they were for the Red Sox?
They were. I think that what's happened is nirvana from a sports perspective. And I think the Patriots have had a trickle-down effect on all the franchises in Boston. Because if the Bruins started to see almost apathy for a while, they were not playing well, the Celtics weren't playing well, and there was almost a keeping up with the Joneses or no one's going to pay attention to you. And the organizations kind of felt an obligation almost to each other, and they obviously always feel it anyway. But now you've got all four teams that where it's title or nothing. Think about how many teams, first of all, how many cities have four franchises, much less four that are contending. So it's like year-round nirvana for sports fans, especially for the radio talk shows and all the sports stuff that goes on in Boston.
We were talking Texas Rangers a minute ago, and one of the problems they always had was getting a veteran pitcher to want to come pitch in the heat. And we're in Indy. A lot of talk about Peyton Manning, whether he would be released, traded. Could he orchestrate where he would end up if he's healthy enough to play? As an older veteran in professional sports, what are the first things you're thinking about as far as where you want to go? Obviously, money is a concern.
Family. It's always, yes. I went to Boston. My wife had an enormous amount of influence on that decision because of where I was in my career. Peyton's in a situation where, I don't know how old his kids are, but they may not be in a situation where they want to move them. Or if they do move them, they need to be at as least disruptive a move as they can make it. Listen, money won't be the deciding factor for Peyton Manning. There's going to be more than one. It's going to be, if he's healthy enough to play, and everybody knows that, he's going to have enough suitors. He's going to want to go somewhere where he can be in the Super Bowl next year. And so, in my mind, the factor is going to come down to the three or four teams that can contend and how the change of life will be to his family.
Now, let's go back to video games for 1 second. My heyday of playing the video games, my favorite of all time, is NHL 94. You ever get that one?
Play two sports games that I ardently fans of, Madden and NHL.
Yeah.
I think both of those franchises are phenomenal. I never played a baseball game. I can't play a baseball arcade game because, in my mind, when you make the game as hard as the real thing was, then I'll play it. I'll have interest in playing it. I don't see that happening.
It's like my mother.
No Tecmo Bowl.
My mother, Mo Damashek, the nurse, watches Grey's Anatomy and says, well, that could never happen.
Right.
It's the same thing for you.
It's exactly right.
Yeah. So how did you wind up getting into fantasy kind of stuff?
I was a gamer my whole life. I was kind of a nerdy, geeky guy when I was young. I loved fantasy, Tolkien, Lord of the Rings, Dungeons and Dragons. I just had the ability to throw a baseball really hard, very accurately, which kind of separated me from the rest of that kind of geek squad. And we've gotten to a place, I think, in life now where geek and nerd mean the opposite of what they used to mean.
Yeah.
If you can't get to Google and find something or find Wikipedia or order from Amazon.com or get a movie from Netflix, you're a geek or a nerd. This is the connected generation. That's not going to change. So I've always been a hardcore gamer, and it was a passion of mine, kept me involved, kept me occupied when I played, and I love the thought of building something. I, and So this wasn't a vanity project. I built this company to be the best in the world at what we do. And I think a lot of people kind of rolled their eyes initially. And as the time has evolved and we're now getting to Tuesday, I think a lot more people are going, okay, wait a minute. This is actually, they're actually pretty good at what they do.
You mentioned the Lord of the Rings movies. I always say the Two Towers was the best one. Everyone tells me I'm crazy. What's the best Lord of the Rings movie?
The Two Towers from an action perspective, but for me, the Return of the King, and because those are the movies you never want to end.
It is sad.
It's just like, for me, it's just like game making. When you watch a movie made by somebody who loves the subject matter, it's a different thing. You're watching a different movie. You know, you look at Moneyball, the movie that just came out, that was made by somebody very passionate and caring about baseball. It's the same thing in entertainment. When you make games, when you play games, when you play Madden, you know the entire development staff at that Tiburon studio plays that game around the clock because they love it. This is the very same thing. The passion and the commitment is enormous.
Well, by the way, you're both wrong. The correct answer to that is Fellowship. That's the best one. We have to be introduced to this entire universe,
but
and it worked.
But
it
couldn't be the best one because you knew there was so much left to tell afterwards.
What about the scene at Helm's Deep where they're waiting for the orcs and
great.
It starts raining?
There are no wrong answers.
Well, now
I
we're
guess.
All getting geeked out because the Hobbit trailers came out, and now it's like,
awesome. And in the meantime, this one has not opened as he's never been so quiet. He's quietly seething towards you because you broke his Halo heart.
Still.
That's okay.
It was tough. We shook hands before he came out. The 2004 one was all right. Like, I can understand that one. Our team wasn't very good that year.
They were good. They
were
better than us.
They were better
than
you. That's all right. I was the only person, though, when you guys were rallying back, I was still rooting for the Yankees.
Of course
I was still upset.
Well, that makes,
and it's weird because with the Angel fans, it's kind of hard because you have sections that will root for the Yankees in those situations and the hardcore ones. I just remember 86 and all the hard, and know the Boston Celtics. We hate all the Boston teams, so we can't root for them. 2007 was the one that I was the most disappointed about because I thought of the Angels teams that lost to you guys, thought that was the best one.
Well, to be honest with you, both of those settings, both of those situations, we went into that series knowing they couldn't beat us. We just knew, again, they owned us in the regular season. They beat the pants off of us. But there was a different feel to October baseball against them.
If Ibar doesn't miss the
squeeze. Well, but I'm saying, we, you know, those little lucky breaks are the best team wins, in my mind, always because you're set up to take advantage of the lucky breaks you get. The more overriding emotion I have is both of those years, we knew we were going to win the World Series the day we clinched the ALCS. We knew the Cardinals couldn't pitch to us, and we knew the Rockies could not either. And it was like, those were our World Series. Winning the ALCS that year was our, beating the Yankees, coming back down 3-0, you know, coming back from Cleveland down 3-1. We knew as soon as those series were clinched that we were going to win the World Series.
One word answer, Patriots or Giants?
Patriots.
Like, of course. That's
Angels
what
or
say.
Rangers this year?
Angels.
No.
We're back.
Yeah. Breaking news. All right. The Reckoning. Go get it this Tuesday. Good luck with that,
Thank
Kurt.
You. Reckoning.com, you can pick it up. And Tuesday midnight, we're doing
Midnight
Maps.
And a piece coming up on Jimmy Kimmel Live you can look for with Kurt and Jimmy yapping about and having some fun there. All right, back here live on NFL.com Live. And, well, look who's joined us. It's Will Forte.
Hello.
Are we?
I'm doing great. How are you?
First question, how do you keep the weight off?
It's a lot of salads. And waters, you gotta hydrate. I put cayenne pepper in my coffee. That's actually true. I do drink.
I heard that works.
Yeah, but it's not a weight thing. That's just because I like the zestiness of a spicy coffee.
That's a big thing.
What's that?
Nordic Track. You don't use that?
No Nordic Track. Although we used to have one in my family.
Yeah. Jazzercise. Yeah. I that's a big thing now. Is spicing your chocolate. That's a phenomenon.
Yeah, that's
delicious.
How I thought I would try it in my coffee is because I had a chocolate that had some cayenne pepper in it.
Interesting.
And I went to it was actually in the Detroit airport. There was a coffee bean with a
known
spice
for
rack.
Their coffee, the Detroit airport.
Yeah, of all places.
But I gotta say,
changed my life.
But I gotta settle something before we get started.
Yes.
Now we're both in the same fraternity, Lambda Chi Alpha.
Is that right?
The same time you're on the campus of UCLA, I was on the campus of Cal State Fullerton. Now every year, we would play in a Sigma Kappa softball tournament at Cal Poly Pomona. You weren't on those teams, were you?
I wasn't.
Okay.
I don't.
We had a little bit of rivalry going, even though we were brothers.
Yeah.
it got a little contentious at times.
Brothers can have brothers rivalries fight. And still love each other.
Like Eli and Peyton.
Yeah.
Kind of.
You can do your handshake at the end of the
I almost gave it to him, but I didn't want to throw him off. I don't know if I would remember it.
Those are so awkward.
I know it's been a long time.
I think maybe. We'll try it later.
The secret frat handshake is so awkward. They do the little.
Well, we'll see when at the end of the segment. Let's not ruin anything. Okay. You've got a picture coming out later on this year.
Yes.
That's my boy coming up in June, correct?
Yes. It is one of the great pleasures of my life to get to work with Adam Sandler. It's Adam Sandler and Andy Samberg are the main two guys, but God, they're just loaded with cool people.
By all accounts, Adam Sandler is delightful.
Oh, he is the best guy ever. It's so damn funny, and this is his first R-rated movie. Well, I think he's been in R-rated movies, but this is the first movie first Sandler movie that's
right.
R-rated.
Right.
So this.
What's the best Sandler movie?
What's the best Sandler movie? Probably That's My Boy. Yeah. No, I don't know. God, I would say. Billy Madison, Happy Gilmore are so great. The Waterboy. Jeez.
I'll go pretentious. Punch Drunk Love.
Punch Drunk Love.
That's
a wonderful movie.
That is a wonderful movie. Yeah.
He's such a good actor,
but what's that?
When you started at Saturday Night Live, did they tell stories about the old cast and things like that? And did you hear a lot about these guys?
Oh, yeah. The Saturday Night Live has been shot in the same place since it started in 76?
70s. Yeah, late 70s.
And it's been in the same building. The writers' offices have been in the same floor. So there's all kinds of stories and ghosts around. It's an amazing place to work. And there are a ton of people who have been there. Not a ton, but there are still some people who have been there since the very beginning of the show who get to tell all these great stories.
When are we ever going to see? Can you go back and do the character? I don't mean here, but at some point, go back onto the stage and do the NASA employee who loves his potato chips.
Oh, my God.
That is one of the most bizarre, and if you aren't familiar with it, do yourself a favor and find it on YouTube, because it is one of my all-time favorites.
That's really cool that you brought that one up, because that's one of my favorites, and that's not one for everyone, so that...
I don't want to have a nerdy conversation with you, but it's NASA on the glass door. That's the NASA.
Oh my God! I wish I could. I'm losing my voice. So.
Don't eat anything but potato chips.
That's it. Okay, it's kind of back a little bit, but I lost my voice right before I did that sketch. Also, because we do a dress rehearsal at SNL, and I went so hard in the dress rehearsal, there's a lot of yelling in this thing, that I lost my voice. So it was probably about where it was when we did the live show.
Where is your honor, sir?
Yeah, we just said, do Foghorn Leghorn to Jason Sudeikis.
Well, wonderful stuff, and good luck with the picture. I Hate You, Dad. Or is it called That's My Boy?
It used to be I Hate You, Dad. Now I believe it is now That's My Boy. And that's the one.
Well, that's not my fault. That's how they look. They have two titles for the same movie right there. I can't take the bullet off.
Hey, who wins the game, by the way?
Who wins the game? Not the Raiders.
Good.
That's my team. I think the Giants. I'm going to go with the Giants just because after that Tuck Rule game, I cannot in good conscience be rooting for the Patriots.
As a silver and black
fan,
I'm going to
say 34-31 Giants. It's going to be close. And I think Madonna might have some effect on the outcome.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we'll see.
Looking forward to Madonna, are you?
I am. Yeah.
In a train wreck kind of way?
I think that train's going to stay on the tracks. I think...
She's more jacked than half the players.
She keeps in shape. Yeah. She's almost 50 now, or is she 50?
Too good a shape, yeah. Right?
Well, we'll see. I mean, I am looking forward to Madonna.
All right.
Are you guys
excellent.
Not? You're.
Oh,
you're
no.
Not,
I said already. I want the jetpacks back. That's.
I want Led Zeppelin to reunite and come back. But so short of that, anything will be a disappointment.
Yeah. All right, very good. Don't eat his potato chips. It's Will Forte. Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you very much.
All right, fellas, let's talk a little bit of football, shall we, here at the Media Center on Radio Row. And We've gone over the Billy Cundiff situation, what his miss, Lee Evans. Wait,
Hang on, I think we are about to be redeemed.
I think I have three words. Ooh, la, and la. How are we? Miss America.
Yeah.
Are you wearing the crown?
I'll hold the mic. You want me to hold the mic for you? Or would you like to hold the
mic
for yourself?
You can just go. Sure,
okay, very good. There we go. No, I'm okay with right here. I'm good sitting right here.
How are you, Miss America?
I'm well, thank you.
Where are you from? What state?
I'm from Wisconsin, Kenosha, Wisconsin.
How many Wisconsin? Oh, I see. They're throwing me in.
Don't you remember? Now, what's the story with Aaron Rodgers? Did that get too much publicity or not?
I think it did. It really was just a harmless joke on my part because you can introduce your state with a fun fact, and I thought I would just spruce it up by shouting out the Packers because, of course, I'm proud to be from Wisconsin. And then I thought at the end I would just say, if you're watching Aaron Rodgers, call me. And it's really made headlines that I didn't expect, and it really was just my way of being funny. And at the end of the day, the joke is on me because he hasn't called.
So you really weren't interested. What about Matt Flynn at least? No, I wasn't.
What's that?
Did Matt Flynn at least call or anything?
No, no one has.
He looks like the bad guy, though. Don't worry.
I'm sure he's a nice guy.
I think, may I say, it seems as though you're looking for a rebound man.
No, not at all. I have a busy next year, so.
I'll ask it again. Are you looking for a rebound?
No, I'm not.
If you were, what man in the NFL would be next in line?
Oh, goodness. Possibly Mr. Tebow.
Really?
Yeah.
Tim Tebow is the direction you look in.
Possibly, yeah.
All right. Do you feel, can I ask you, looking as you do, do you go through life with the, and believe me, I know what it's about, but do you feel like too often people fail to see what you've gotten here because of what you and I have here? Yeah, it's nice. Yes. Fine. But sometimes it gets in the way,
Right. And, especially with the crown, a lot of people just think there's this stereotype of pageants. And that's something I hope to break is let them know that Miss America is a scholarship organization. We're women who are involved in our community, furthering our education. I was awarded $50,000 that I'll use to go to law school next year. So that's what I hope to tell people, and that they can see past all of this, because there are so many women in the Miss America organization that come from adversity and that they rise above, and that's really what we are made of, not the outside.
I'm sorry, I got lost in your eyes. Can you say that again?
You're sweet. Thank you.
Were you totally bummed when the Packers lost to the Giants?
I was on an airplane from Vegas to New York watching that as the only Wisconsin fan on that plane around all Giants fans. So I was completely outnumbered, and I was really hoping that they would be here while I'm here. That would be cool.
Like you and the whole state.
Were the Giants fans on the plane giving you grief?
Well, they didn't know I was a Packer fan because I just silently sat in my seat. But we were watching it on the plane, and they were going nuts. They were going crazy.
You want to get revenge on the Giants?
I do.
All right.
That's what I've said.
I can introduce you to Mark Sanchez, and you can start dating him.
No.
I mean, that would really do it.
I am looking for revenge, though.
Okay.
That's all I have to say is that I hope the Patriots come out victorious.
When does the crown come off? Is this just this? I mean, if I were named Miss America, I think I wouldn't take the crown off for a year at least. I would shower in it.
No, I really don't wear it a lot, to be honest. I have a pin that I wear, and sometimes when you wear the crown, that's all people want to look at.
It's a lot of bling.
Yeah, and they don't really want to listen to what you have to say. So if I'm given the option, I would rather not wear it.
Where are you going to be in law school next year?
For me, it depends geographically where I want to be. I've been looking at some schools on the East Coast, in Chicago, in Milwaukee, Boston, so this is a great year traveling for me.
You don't want to go there.
No, hey, Boston? Oh.
You could consider Los Angeles.
What's that?
We happen to live in Los Angeles, and you'd be new there, but we'd be more. I think I can speak for, we'd show you around, show you our Los Angeles.
Yeah. We'll see.
Where did you undergrad at?
In Wisconsin.
At UW?
No, I went to a small liberal arts school in Kenosha.
So you want to get away from that. You want to be out in the sun.
So
college is about out in the sun.
Yeah, well, listen, we could open a lot of doors for you in show business.
Well, I don't know. I don't know about that.
When you come out to L.A., will you be on our podcast?
Yeah, I'm in L.A. a lot. I just came from there, actually.
Wonderful. So, all right, we'll look forward to that. Yeah. Do you care to throw out a prediction for us on the big game?
I don't care to.
You don't care to.
No,
you're still bitter.
I'm still bitter.
I'm hearing Giants.
Yes. No. You got me confused. No. Definitely, I'm rooting for the Patriots. rooting. I don't even know if I'm going to be at the game.
I was going to say, are you going to watch the game? Are you going to be one of those people at the Super Bowl party who just kind of mills about like the appetizers, doesn't actually watch the game?
No, I'll watch the game, but I don't know if I'm going to actually be at the Super Bowl or if I'm going to watch it elsewhere.
All right. After this, maybe we'll go get a nice pastrami at Shapiro's, if you're willing.
I'm paying.
All right. So be it. Coming up, out goes Miss America. Did you see Madonna go by?
I did.
That was neat, right?
We watched her press conference. That was really neat.
That was cool.
Great. That'll be fun.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you very much, Miss America, and good luck choosing that law school. And coming up in just a moment, the brand new general manager of the Indianapolis Colts on NFL.com live at Super Bowl 46.
You listen to Dave Damashek.
Out goes Miss America. In comes Ryan Grigson, the brand new GM of the Indianapolis Colts. Welcome to the show and welcome to Indy, I guess.
Thanks, guys. Good to be here.
Now, you come from Philadelphia, but you spent some time, you matriculated an hour north of here, right, at Purdue?
Yes, and then an hour and a half north of there is where I was born and raised, so it's home.
So that's fantastic. Yeah. What a great opportunity to move back here.
Amazing. Amazing.
You had to follow Miss America, and we had Madonna on the NFL Network. So it's a lot of pressure.
Hey, that's,
I mean, your hair looks nice. You look great.
No, don't do comparisons with those two. I don't like following those two. That's obviously not a good follow up.
You know, anytime you get a new job, and this is a big job, you've got to be excited about it. But you're also walking into a hornet's nest of issues, team issues. I'm sure your experience prepares you, but was part of you excited and part of you like, oh man,
the great thing about it is I jumped in so fast and so hard. I knew what I was getting into, but it's a challenge, but it's just been so high paced and exciting and tough and all those things at the same time that it's, you know, it's a challenge, but yet it's still fun and exciting because it's football and it's what you really want. It's what you really want. If you love what you do and it's what you aspire to, you start out as a scout or as a former player, you want to reach the highest level and you can't back down from a challenge. And I have one, but I have a great support system around me, so I feel comfortable in the meantime. You know, so it's not bad.
Is the mindset right out of the gate here? You bring in Pagano, you bring in Bruce Arians right on the heels of that. Bruce Arians, a nice track record of developing Roethlisberger into the quarterback he is now. Is the thought process there, this is a perfect guy to groom a young guy coming in? Is that where the organization's head is with the likes of Andrew Luck, if I may speculate?
Well, regardless of what happens in the quarterback situation, I think we have by far the best available offensive coordinator to take that position, to develop quarterback, veteran or rookie or second year guy, what have you. He was the best guy available by far, and I'll leave it at that. I mean, he's a great situation to have on our offense on a lot of different levels.
In your situation, you're obviously going to have to make a decision on Peyton Manning one way or the other. Do you dread the possibility of being perceived as a villain, or do you think that the Colts fans are understanding enough, they know what the score is, and they understand that at some point you're going to have to move forward?
I mean, there's, like I said, like you guys had spoken on earlier, this has been happening so fast, but I've literally, the only way I can do this thing is to take it minute by minute, hour by hour, and just tackle each thing as they come to me, and those big steps from, you know, acquiring the head coach, acquiring the staff, looking at the roster, figuring out what we have at each position, our depth, all those things are monumental things. And I'm just approaching, honestly, each thing piecemeal and as best way I can. So I can't really accurately even talk to, because I haven't been able to even internalize that yet. Mm-hmm. And there's so many things that are in a holding pattern that we have no control over that, you know, I know people want to know answers and they want to know this and that, but they know, honestly, as much as I know right now, or Jim Irsay knows, because regardless of anything, you know, people have to be healthy and be able to play, and there have to be those other things at the top that we started with in terms of getting the coach, figuring out the talent, the draft, all these other things. They happen in a time frame, and I'm taking it in a slow process so we do it the right way.
Well, it seems like when you go out to the Steak and Shake or whatever, does everybody have an opinion on what you got to do and tell you about it?
I wish I could get the Steak and Shake, man. I mean, I've been locked up in that building and then, you know, back at my place now that I'm out of the hotel for, you know, how many ever hours that is. And I'm right back at the building, and it's been a fever. Everything's been at a fever pitch. But, you know, I haven't had much interaction with people outside the building. I'm just being honest, you know.
You have you mentioned Freeney Mathis. You have Saturday. There's Clark. There's Wayne. There are a lot of pieces, recognizable names. I'm interested in your opinion, even though you may not have had a chance to look back at all 16 games. Yeah. But in your opinion, Peyton Manning's absence, as far as I'm concerned, that probably is an 8-8 team, even with Peyton Manning. I felt like it was a pretty flawed team. What's your opinion?
In terms of where we're at?
Where would they have been with Peyton Manning? Or is it a complete rebuild for you? I mean, do you feel like a few pieces or a big overhaul?
No, there's definitely some rebuilding. There definitely is. I mean, I have looked at film, not as nearly as extensively as I need to. But I have, you know, from looking at guys in the past and doing pro tape and knowing them in college, I have general impressions of the roster. But until I get into the meat of it with my head coach and really go through each one meticulously, I can't speculate because, you know, I couldn't do it, honestly.
Last question for you. Yeah. I should ask you who you think is going to win the Super Bowl, but I'm more interested in this. How many GMs, you don't have to name names, how many phone calls have you received from GMs around the league asking you what it's going to take to get that first overall pick away from you?
You know what? I haven't had anybody really.
No one's called you for that.
No. But you know what though? I don't answer my phone. So I just actually got an assistant a couple days ago. My phone's been ringing off the hook. I might have 900 messages. But you know, the only person I really pretty much have gotten back to is my wife, maybe, and a couple of my closest colleagues and peers in this league. I haven't had time.
We got to get out, you and I. Let's go to the Steak and Shake right now.
I just had a steak about our PR guy tried ripping me away from the table at this luncheon. I'm like, I'm not going to media day without eating, pal. You know what I mean? So, no, I'm with you. You can pick the time and place. Just let's wait till things calm down a little bit.
All right.
But do yourself a favor. Yeah. I went to Indiana University. You know that. That you know they have better food, at least. That's what you can go down there for your
I've
vittles,
spent many right? I've spent many a good time down in Bloomington, believe me.
Excellent. Well, you're going to have a chance to run down there on the spare weekend when your schedule allows. But right now, thanks so much, Ryan Grigsby, and good luck with the first overall pick in the Indianapolis Colts.
Thank you.
There you have it. There goes Miss America. I'm actually not sure if that was just Miss America. However, the producer decided to piece this thing together, but let's say it was.
She kept making eyes at me, and you can't catch it through the podcast.
No.
But if you're watching the show,
she didn't.
She really did.
No, she didn't.
She was locked in.
Wow.
Locked into the baby blues.
I don't mind saying to you, she gave me the hi-hat.
She, a little bit.
I made every effort.
I felt she didn't care for you.
She seemed I was going to say disinterested, but that's not what she was.
She kept look. I think what
she was downright. She downright disliked me.
I think what she was doing. She was locking eyes with me as the only person who could save her from the segment.
You can't win them all, fellas. That's all I can tell you. But you know, for my sake, it would be nice to win once more, at least more than once every decade. But all right, so be it. I'm not going to hang my head. We have a whole show to worry about tomorrow with all those good guests, including RG3, Tim Tebow, Adam Sandler, and really Vanilla Ice.
Yeah.
That should be good. All right, let's go hit the late night of Indianapolis. How about it, Ray?
Let's do it.
All right, with that being said, we will yap with you tomorrow. In the meantime, thanks so much, football fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.